First Corinthians chapter 10. Let's pick our text from where the next three services I will be here. I'll be talking on the next three services I will start today, but I am sure it will go beyond two services. It will reach three services, three times. Okay, I'm reading the first 12 verses for a text. Can we be on our feet as the custom of the Church of Jesus Christ is to honor the word from where we pick our text, just our own way of demonstrating the seriousness of the next part of the service. The most sincere part of the service is the opening of the word. This is the time that every true believer is waiting for. If I go to church, I'm dancing, yes. I'm falling under anointing, yes. But it does not better my Christian life. What betters my Christian life is what I hear. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. The word of God is important. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Everybody, verse 12. Shall we go? Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And let's read 2 Corinthians again, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, chapter 2, just one verse, 11. Amen. Verse 11, it said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In church, we are in a period of revival. Seriously, from the testimonies we hear, from what we see before us, especially within the last 1 year, particularly within the last 1 year, and the climax of it that we saw during this last program, there's evidence that there is a move of the Spirit. I was very, very excited when a sister who says she's not a member of this church, but she visits here regularly, and from what she heard, which she did not hear in her church, she says she decided to drop wearing trousers. And then we are hearing phone calls from our online members. People have decided to withdraw from their churches. They have heard something. And things are happening. We are here ministering. And somebody who is connecting through the television, even through the internet in Europe, they are also receiving the same spirit, the same anointing we are receiving here over there. And we are hearing all manner of manifestations taking place that lets me speak confidently that there is a bright revival going on. There's a revival that is going on, both with the individual and with the church. It may interest you to note that, to know that we here, the ministers, we are aware that the quality of membership of this church has changed. It is gradually changing from miracle and sign-seeking crowd to a word-loving and believing crowd. Suddenly we are seeing people that are now interested to know more about God. More interested in establishing a relationship with God than just coming to God for what they will get from Him. And that is the purpose of the revival. To get the people that are heaven bound in their thoughts. To get the people that suddenly want to trim their lamps, trim their revelations. That the kind of testimony we hear more now, we hear more of our eyes of understanding opening than miracle, signs and wonders, testimonies. What is the attraction of the people coming here now? The attraction now is, go, come and hear something. Come and hear something. Praise the Lord. And that is evidenced by what is going on around the world. People are connecting. Service is going on now. Churches are even springing up all over, all around the world, around this truth. It lets me know that there is a revival going on, that truly the latter rain is falling. Amen. I get very excited over it because it is not easy with what the devil has done in the church to turn back the heart of the people back to this Bible. To see a people that want to walk with God according to His word. That find a people, a group of people that, you know, contrary to what is going on, that they will hold on to this, the word of God. I hear people who tell me from outside Lagos that after they had us concerning water baptism, they went to their pastors to challenge their pastors. Amen. There is something going on, and this is just the beginning. Oh, it's just the beginning. This is the day of the latter rain. And God is moving in His power again. And the power that God is moving is not miracles, signs, and wonders. Hallelujah. You must catch it. When I explained, I think Friday night or so, about the impartation, we suddenly, God has begun to grant us understanding of this Bible. In the denomination, to impart is to say, take it. They call it impartation. But apostle, and they quote that same Romans chapter 1. But that's not what Apostle Paul was saying. The next statement, let us understand that you might be established in the common faith. So, Apostle Paul was telling the Romans that he longed to see them, that he might impart some spiritual gift on them. Now, to impart that in them, so that they will be established in the same faith. So, he's not talking about, then you fall down, you are shaking. Ha! I have received some impartation. That can never establish you. The impartation there is to give you an understanding. That is the impartation, an understanding. Amen. So that nobody will toss you to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You are established in the common faith, both of you and me. Apostle Paul, there is something he believes, and he wants you to believe the same thing. So he comes to impart it in you. Praise the Lord. And it is that impartation that makes us know so many things. Apostle Paul told us it is not proper that everybody in the church will stand up and speak in tongue. By the impartation of that knowledge, we now know that everybody cannot speak in tongue. I use that as an example. It's a bright revival. A sudden awareness to come back to Bible Christianity. But my emphasis today is, while this revival is going on, each time God moves, Satan will also move. Satan is in the business of killing revival. That's why, for some time, I'm beginning to take the topic and title The Enemies of Revival. I want you to know them. I want you to know them. I try to look at about 9 or 10 areas. If time permits me, I will look at 3 now. Then we will continue 3 the next time. Then we will continue the balance the next time. But for now, the enemies of revival. What can quench the revival you have, both as an individual Christian and also as a church, the body of Christ? Number one is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The lust of the flesh. The first and closest enemy you have is your flesh. It's your flesh. This is the way Jesus Christ put it. Matthew 26 to Peter and the apostles. Matthew 26. Now, verse 40 and verse 41. Verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40 and verse 41. Remember, he was going to be crucified, and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray about 3 times there. He told them, you know, watch here, wait here, and pray. I'm going to pray yonder. And he cried to the Father, if possible, let this cup pass from me. Verse 40. And he cometh unto the disciples from his prayers now, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? This way I'm going. Watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. Everybody read the next statement. Shall we go? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let me tell you something. The anointing you received, listen to me very well. The anointing you received, the fire you received, the revival, the restoration you received, the baptism of the Holy Ghost you received. Listen, church. You did not receive it in your eye. It does not affect your eye. It does not affect your ear. It does not affect your leg. It does not affect your mouth. It is affecting your spirit man, your soul. Amen. And that is why there is the battle between the spirit man and the flesh. Galatians chapter 5. Amen. Now, Galatians. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This is the way he put it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. That is, live your life in the Spirit. If you do that, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So the first hindrance to your spiritual progress is your flesh. But, verse 18, If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And when you say the flesh here, this is what the flesh is interested in. Listen, this flesh that we have does not love prayers. This flesh does not love fasting. That's why, amen, if you were sitting down here and watching football, you will never be tired. Because that is the one that the flesh wants. But as soon as you are listening to a message that is piercing to the soul, sleep will begin to catch you. Because the flesh is not interested in it. It does not affect him in any way. I want you to know the closest enemy you have. So you understand what the Bible says. You should love your enemy. If your enemy is dirty, clean him. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. Eh? If your enemy is ugly, beautify him. Eh? In so doing, you are heaping coal of fire upon him. That's the closest enemy. Many of us look away from the closest enemy. See, when the Bible says, a man's foes shall be them of his household. Amen. You look far, far away. You're looking at witches. You're looking at wizards. This revival that you have received, the first battle that you will face, and some of us have started facing it already. Already. 21 days, you know, chop. Chop now, recover all you lost. 21 days, so. Why should they pray now? 21 days, you don't sleep. Prayer, 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 prayer. You don't do now. You don't start with that. Oh. Amen. How do you know? Amen. The loss of the flesh. Verse 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? The things that this flesh enjoy, love to do. Which you must deny it. That's where the battle is. Number one, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can never inherit the kingdom of God. You can't. And we read 1 Corinthians chapter 10 so that you will understand these things very well. They started a revival in the wilderness that was supposed to take them through to the promised land. But many of them could not reach the promised land. Why? The enemies of revival. Why? The reasons we see there largely were this same thing we're talking about, the loss of the flesh. We saw how one day, just one day, in Numbers chapter 25, the feast of Baal, every one of us know it, when Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, he gave an advice to King Balak. Don't worry. If you are going to curse them, they are under a covenant. They can never fall. You can never succeed in cursing them. God told me he has blessed them. You can't curse them. That is why in the Bible, he, God, up to the book of Revelation, he still hates the doctrine of Balaam. And I have preached a message that I titled The Doctrine of Balaam. If you have forgotten, with time I will preach it again. Yes, what is the doctrine of Balaam? It's simple. It's still going on today in the church of Jesus Christ. As long as you are under a covenant with God, nobody can curse you. Nobody can curse you. But that old Satan knows it. Don't worry. If you are going to say you are throwing anything against these people, it will not work. They have a covenant with God. So the best thing is, do something. Lead them to do something that will make God to be angry with them. Then the anger of God will come upon them. Nobody, you curse them. You curse them. You don't curse them. Now God by himself, they deal with them. That is the doctrine of Balaam. And the feast of, that was organized under the advice of Balaam. Read it from Numbers 25 and Numbers 31. It was explained there. Now you discover that he then told them, you know, they have been in the wilderness under very strict laws of holiness. And so, what you should do is invite them to attend a feast. After all, we are related. They are Edomites. They are the descendants of Esau. Esau is a twin brother of Jacob. So, are they not one? They are one. They are one. Tell them, we know you are in a journey. So, we decided to just welcome you as you are passing through our land to go. We just decide to hold a banquet for you. Remember the purpose of that banquet was not to honor their brother, it's to finish you. And then he went, and then they now arranged those girls. The same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 6 when the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. It's the same agenda. The same thing again. As he dressed them, they began to come and dance a willow. And dance all those sexy dance. Cladded. And do you know that that dance takes place in the church today? Nobody can go to a nightclub to go and watch that type of dance. But now, it is organized. I know of churches that organize cultural day. What has Christianity got to do with culture? When they have nothing anymore to preach, that is when they begin to organize all manner of things. They organize football. Is football having anything to do with the spirit? No, it's the flesh. They organize all manner of things. Now, they bring comedians to come and make jests at the pulpit and for believers to be laughing. Let us laugh with Jesus. Does that have to do with the soul? No. What is it gratifying? The flesh. And then, when these children of Israel, so you know they will arrange those girls, they will select them. They will tell them how to do that type of dance. You can imagine, just imagine, remember, they are targeting something. And as soon as they came, they told them, here, feel free, they have anything you like, do with them. Feel free, just do anything. They say, you mean we can, you can, oh yeah. Oh! And we know the story. One day, what Balaam could not achieve to curse them, one day, 24,000 died from the anger of God. Do you know what it means? In one day, 24,000 die in an occasion. Not 24 people, oh. Not 2,400, oh. 24,000. 1, 2, 3. Imagine dead bodies, 24,000. And that revival ended for those people. It ended for them. That's the reason why Colossians chapter 3, Apostle Paul put it this way. enemies of revival, your flesh, the lust of the flesh. This is the way Apostle Paul put it from verse 1. He says, it's a long reading, but it's the admonishment. I want you to hear directly from Paul himself. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And he said, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Check them. Check them. Tame them. Tame them. Mortify them. Fornication. Uncleanness. Inordinate affection. Evil concupiscence. And covetousness. Which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Because it is because of all these things the unbelievers are doing. That is why hellfire has been created. That's what he's telling you there. In the which you also, all of us here, sometime when you lived in them, but now that we have received the Holy Ghost, we are believers, you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. See that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor circumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. And he goes on. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, what should you put on? Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Finally, he said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him and the Father by him. Mortify. Romans chapter 6. The best way to sink this in your spirit is when you go back and read these scriptures again. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't allow it to reign there anymore, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. It is because it is ruling you, that's why. If you say, oh, yeah, go and fornicate, you're going to go like a zombie. If you say, go and thief, you will do it. If you say, go and steal, everything you do is just obeying this flesh. He said, no. Let no sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, everybody, verse 14, shall we go? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. For sin shall not have dominion over you. This flesh shall not have dominion over you. That's the reason Christians fast regularly. One way to put this body and tame it is to train yourself with an ability to tell this flesh, no, I won't do it. And it's not with your mouth you say it. It's in the heart. Anything you don't accept in the heart, you won't do it. Anything you reject in your heart, you won't do it. And everything you accept in your heart, you will do it. You desire your neighbor's wife, you must sleep with her. It may take you 6 months to plan it. Why? Because the heart is set to do it. And anything you reject in your heart, you hate it. Even in the spirit, in your dream, you will hate it. You will fight it. You reject it. Our brother from St. Lucia was telling me how a demon one time visited him physically. He said he was lying down. He said he just finished taking his bath and came to lie down to sleep. He had left his wife outside. He said he came to lie down. He took, his bedspread and covered himself. Suddenly, he saw somebody that came to lie down by his side, a woman. You know, he just believed that is his wife. So, you know, he even said, honey, good night. You know, backing the woman that lied down by his side. He said, suddenly, he said, the woman took her hand to hold him. I was kissing his ear. Now, he was telling me, he said, suddenly he found himself saying, come on. Now, he said, he won't do that for his wife. He said, he believed that it was the Holy Ghost that did that action. And as soon as he did it, come on. And then he turned and looked. He saw a strange woman. And the woman stood up now that he has found out and walked out through the door and went out. He said it was not a vision. He said it was real. He said over there in the Caribbean, he said they don't just come in the spirit. They come spiritual and physical. Now, he was telling me, he said, if he were a fornicator, he said, it will get him. But the spirit man rejects that. And he was telling me this because God was using him mightily. He said, many pastors have fallen. Once there is a lie, he said, they will write you. He said, they wrote him about 3 or 4 times. That he should come and join one society or the other. And they are telling him, what a so-so-so minister, they are all part of us. And when he refused, they started threatening to kill him. There must be no light there. But he said, he will hold the light there. You must decide, if others are falling, if my friends are falling, me, I will stand. It's a decision because it's a battle. It's a battle. To be recruited into it is very, very simple. But because he hates it from the heart, anything you hate from the heart, it stays. Even in your sleep. Even in your sleep. Even if they poison you, your leg will not open for the man. Even if they drug you, your spirit will still be fighting. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For sin shall not have dominion over you. No, it must never have dominion over you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are conquerors. And the first thing to conquer is your flesh. Number 2, enemy of revival. Pride. Pride. P-R-I-D-E. Pride. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, he says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Before destruction is pride. When you see anybody that is proud, just know that his end is destruction. Oh, praise the Lord. And this is you see that perfect example is the intermediate believers worldwide. Very easy. You get into that trap without knowing. And that is what some of us, with some statements that I make, there are efforts I'm doing to chase that spirit far from me. As soon as the average man, human beings generally, once you think you have something that other people don't have, pride sets in. And so, it comes to the message. When God brought us this message through the ministry of William Marion Branham, and we got to know things that the denominational world didn't know. And then you are seeing yourself that you didn't go to Bible school, and the reverend doctor does not know what you know. And then before you know what, you see a pride. You know, when you see them going up for evangelism, do you know that the Pope is the Antichrist? All these blind chickens, all these blind vultures. You can't understand me. You know you are not of God. You know, okay, let me prove it. Do you know Satan? Okay, in which name were you baptized? Blind people. Original life. Original seed. And once you allow that spirit comes, that makes you, instead of you, to be grateful to God. See, the revelation, what a true revelation does, if it is a true revelation you receive, that anchors you. It keeps you humble. It keeps you humble. It's not to make you proud. And as soon as you do that, the Spirit of God hates pride. Once that nature is in you, you refuse to humble yourself, God steps aside to let you know that you are where you are by my grace. What have they done with all the knowledge they have? I am telling you, some of you just came into this message through this church, and you think that what you are seeing here is what is happening among all the believers around the world. It's not so. There's something unique about this place you don't know. Generally, in the entire message, once, like this church now, with all the attention we have, the crowd we have, if there were any, if it was some other entire message pastor, wow! Hey! We are seeing them. Before this church started, there were jokernauts that we knew them. I mean jokernauts that we knew them. When you have a convention, they will tell you who and which minister come. You mention their name. So person came and said, he come, there must be a big convention. Then, how many members does he have? Maybe he has up to 200 members. That is why he's a big man in the message. And before you know what, if he does not give approval to your ministry, even your members, they will not accept you as their pastor. Pride sets in. You know something other people don't know. Like the man Ashomolu. Some revelations that he had, that he believed other intermediate people didn't know. That's all. That's why we are his number one problem. You know why? Because everything he knows, I know it. Why? It's the same platform. Where he got it from is where I got it to. It's not what we say every time, Pastor Thomas. It's the same platform. The same platform. It's the same platform. If not, has any of them ever replied me that I preach anything wrong? No. And here you see there, believing he has a worldwide ministry, and yet you don't know him. If I was not talking about him here, you would not know. Somebody, sister here, said they were that she when I we sent them to get us some material there one time. Because I like to hear what they are talking about. He said that in the same street, she lives in the same street, and she didn't know there was a church there. I am John. He's the chief apostle. He's the lead apostle. Apostle is higher than all the rest. I am the one now. I have heard him say, except you believe I am John, you will never make the rapture. And I say, you are a liar. Wait and see if you ever get there, whether you will not see me. Pride. Pride. And as soon as they start that nonsense, God will withdraw. God is looking for a man that is humble. Why do you think he has Apostle Paul? Let me use Apostle Paul as an example first. Why do you think he left a thorn in the flesh of Apostle Paul? Apostle Paul said it himself. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12. People don't know how important this thing is. Verse 7. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. You see? So that he will not be exalted above measure because he had so much revelation. He has so much anointing. He has such a great ministry. He has such great visitation. You have to read it from verse 1 up to verse 6 to see what he spoke before he made this statement. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God himself wants to keep everyone he is truly using humble. So he will leave something so that you always remember you are a man despite all the revelation you have, despite all the anointing. He said he called upon God 3 times to take this thing away. He called it the messenger of Satan. Satan was always using that thing to torment him. What was his problem? The thorn in the flesh was the problem with his eyes. That eye, that light that struck him on the way to Damascus affected his sight. Remember, he went blind before Ananias came and prayed for him for the sight to be restored. But God restored the sight just enough for him to see and walk about. But he left it a problem there. Satan was always exploring it and dealing with it. He cried to God 3 times. What did God say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And people don't know it. When you are strong, then God will step aside. But when you say you are weak, then God will come there. So that everybody will know you are not the one. It is him. If not, why will he choose Moses? A stammerer. A stammerer. Why will he choose Moses? A stammerer. And when Moses was saying, I cannot communicate, he said, okay, wait. Instead of healing him, he gave him Aaron. Somebody, you see, when you want to study God so that you will know how to walk with him, especially those of us God is using, I'm telling you, especially every day, I say this and the Holy Ghost be my witness, my prayer point every day, Lord, make me humble. Let my identity be that people will look at me and say, that is a humble man of God. That is a humble man of God. Don't want anybody to say this man is too proud. Why should I be proud? With all these things I know. I want God to continue with me. His strength is made perfect in weakness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why enter message believers all around the world. You have done nothing with it. Nothing with the precious message that God gave us. Nothing to attract the people there. Nothing. Lucifer is the father of pride. I will. Everybody knows the story of Lucifer, so let me not bother. But you can read it in Isaiah 14. You know, okay, let me emphasize something. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. This is the commentary of Satan. Verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyros, and say unto him, Thus said the Lord God, Thou sealest up the psalm. Hey, that is to seal up the psalm is you know, the conclusion of perfection. He said, Thou sealest up the psalm, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. That's why people who portray Satan in all those films as some horrible looking animal, Nalayo, oh, was a beautiful creature. See now, he said, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Imagine that. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold, the workmanship. See. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. That is, inside of him was music. Instruments of music was inside of, when he sings, oh man. So he was the leader of worship in heaven. Verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That's the closest to God. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Till iniquity was found in thee. What is the iniquity that was found? Go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 12. This is how it goes. How are thou falling from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are they cut down to the ground? We did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thy heart, this is where the iniquity. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the Lord. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That was the iniquity. That was the iniquity. I will, so that you will know why judgment is coming on the Antichrist, who exalted himself above all that is called God. That's what the Bible says. And seated in the temple to be worshipped. It's the same old demon that comes to possess him. See, the mystery of iniquity is the culmination of Satan coming in the flesh, manifesting this time in a man. The mystery of godliness is the creator of the heavens and the earth coming also in a man, Jesus. Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, also Satan coming also in a man. That you can say, The mystery of godliness, when you see me, you see God. You see my Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Satan too has a vessel he will use. That he will incarnate. And the whole world will see it. This is my beloved servant, in whom I am well pleased. The Antichrist also say, if you see me, you see Satan. I am the way to hell. Satan himself will come in there and dwell for people to know. I will. Now break it down. Check it. All of us that God is using. I will. I have tried to correct the prophets that minister here. Some of them, they forget very easily. Because sometimes they don't even know the implication. I am so conscious. So conscious. That the glory that belongs to God, I will take it. So conscious. So conscious. When this brother that was testifying today, he made that same mistake. He started, instead of starting to thank God first, he said, I will first thank Pastor Thomas. You all had him. You all had him. At the back there, fear catch me. Pow. But you know, I am careful. I didn't come immediately to correct it because somebody may think that because he didn't say me. Because he didn't say, I want to tamper, so maybe are they jealous. Now I can't say Nala. No, people are hearing us. You know, so while I was sitting down there, I said, anytime you do that, I am not pretending. You didn't know I took note of it. Anything that will make us share glory with God, I want to separate myself from it. It's not today I learned it. And I've so subjected myself to him that I'm sensitive about that. When sometime last year, a prophet was discerning a man here. I was holding microphone here. And the man said, ha! And then he said, are you surprised? Have you heard of, he mentioned his name. He said, Nahim the Siso. Ha! I walked to him by the side. I said, I called his name. I tapped him. I put down the microphone and said, you are looking for trouble with God. I said, you were there. After service, I called him to my office. I said, are you Antichrist? So you are the one seeing that vision. You are the one seeing that revelation. I said, stop that. He didn't even know the implication. Pride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he fell. Why did Nebuchadnezzar fall? It's the same thing. Until God let him know that he, God, ruled in the affairs of men. And that it is within his power to make you a king and within his power to bring you down. And he proved it. 7 years. Put him in the bush there. A king. Became an animal eating grass. Changed his digestive system. Changed, turned a human being to an animal. He is a God that can do and undo. Would you fear him? Would you fear him? Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17 says, 7 things that are abomination before the Lord. The 7th one, he called it a proud look. A proud look. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, he says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. It's an abomination. Proverbs 16, verse 5. And in James chapter 4, verse 6, he says, God resisted the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. To the humble. To the humble. Psalm 3, verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. That is what God does. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 3, he says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is not in, he deceives himself. He deceives himself. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 105, verse 5. He said, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Say, he will not tolerate that person. Oh, and I love Proverbs 15, verse 33. He said, before honor is humility. William Branham paraphrased it. He said, the way up is down. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Peter says so. And what will he do? He will lift you up. Amen. I am telling you what I practice. I will continue to be lifted up. Because I know what the secret of being lifted up. I know it according to the scripture. And I've tried to say it here. But from what I see all around me, many of the people working with me, not too many people I see catch some of these things that they should, you know, imbibe from me. I don't have jealousy. That's the truth. I am telling you, I am not saying it because I'm teaching as a principle. Everything I teach, hold me to it. Carry your torchlight. Follow me to see me do anything contrary to what I say here. And feel free, even if you don't face me, write it. Write me. Be anonymous over it. After all, it will even help me. Challenge me. You said this. Why do you do this? Contrary to what you say here. You will never see me jealous. I said it here before. Amen. Don't worry. One day, God will confirm some of these things before our eyes. Because no matter how we say it, some things are best taught when you show them practical. I'm telling you this. None of the ministers working with me will ever be more anointed than me. Do you know why? Because I am in the business of lifting them up. Because I am lifting them up, God himself will now be lifting me up. You cannot see. It is only one who is above that lifts up. Am I correct? Those who pull down people, are they not people who are down? And they pull you down. You pull somebody, something that is up. You have to be down to pull. You have to be up to lift. Amen. I'm in the business of lifting up. My ministry is to lift you up. So I will remain on top. You see a brother and sister, God is prospering, and you allow jealousy, that is your beginning of going down. People don't know it. Go close. I identify with this. The Dashimoto. All of you now, all the ministers, you don't know how happy I am when I see you all dressed up in suit. Some have changed from coat. They are now wearing suit. Yes. I am proud. That's my minister. That is my minister. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When they say somebody has dashed me a car, wow. Now you have a car. Oh, I thank God for you. Amen. When I see you, you know, you make mistake in operating your gift, I call you, I teach you, I, you know, establish you, I pray for you. When you are flying, every true father desires his children to be better than him. That's the spirit of a pastor. Can't be a pastor and be selfish. Be jealous. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm talking to somebody. Honor goes before honor is humility. Number three. the gods of this world, enemy of revival. The God of this world. That's how the Bible put it. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 4. The scripture, verse 3 and verse 4. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And I said the gods, my own are gods. There are three gods. And there are also the three things that the angel of God warned William Branham. And William Branham also told us to watch against. He said there are the three things that pull down any woman, man of God. Anybody God is using. These are the three things that destroy their ministry. Number one is woman. Proverbs chapter 6. Read it through verse 25 up to verse 35. The emphasis there is, it says, whoso committed adultery with a woman, he said, lacketh understanding. That means he's saying that you are foolish to be an adulteress. Why did he say you lack understanding? Amen. Praise God. I preach a message that I titled Why God Hates Fornication. And I said so many things there. That's the reason why you notice that, you know, what happened in the Garden of Eden has reduced us to what we are today. It was adultery. It was adultery that has reduced us to what we are today. Because the sin of adultery, listen, church, the sin of adultery passes on, the effect of adultery passes on from you to generation, to generation, and to generation. When you get yourself involved like that, they are bound in the scripture. Look at what happened in the household of David because of what he did with Bathsheba. That's what happens. You see? He said you lack understanding. And let me tell you, those of us who do deliverance and we have had confessions with agents of darkness, why do you think Satan began to prepare the Canaanites, the line of Cain, the daughters of, you know, the lineage of Cain? Why did he specially prepare those women? He had an agenda. He had an agenda. You see? And we see the effect. Until God had to wipe away the whole world in the days of Noah, with the Noah flood. Now, and I said it, that anytime you take yourself, listen, church, anytime, he said, a man and a woman, the man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two of them shall become one flesh. The join there is not packing your load to come and live in the house with him. It's more than that. The sexual union makes the two of you one. It demonstrates your oneness. It comes the two of you together. And once you do that, all her problems become your problem. And all your problems become her problem. If you suffer from any cause, automatically it comes upon her. If she's suffering from any cause, automatically it comes upon you. And you leave your wife, that in a sanctified marriage, and you go to a woman and ravish yourself with her, you go and carry her own problem, come and jam it in your family, and then you see families with confusion, all manner of things. People don't know it. You think you are enjoying. And any time you meet with a woman, you are releasing life into her. She is taking your life along with her. Where is she from? You don't even know it. Those of you who go to prostitutes, you don't know whether it's a human being you even meet. He collects it. You don't go where they send her from. Come. And you are wondering, nothing is working for me, Pastor. Nothing is working for me. I don't understand. I try my best. And people are not sincere to see. Why did I suddenly go down? What went wrong? What did I do wrong? They don't first look at themselves. They want to say, this compound where they live. And let me quickly tell you, some revelation that prophets give you, now wait till you are here. It's in the Bible. That is what is in you. That's what you want to hear. Ahead is Uncle Emeka. I know it's Uncle Emeka. I know. Father, confirm it for me. But do I even need confirmation? It's clear. Anyway, Father, I go bride. Lord, pick me. If God will pick it, because they pick everything. Then you say, before you talk to me, I know. You will say, I know. Say Nahim. But you cannot know. You don't remember where you went and sold your destiny. You don't remember that girlfriend you have in your office. That your neighbor, where everybody come out, you go enter. You don't know all the nonsense you are doing, that everyone has a just recompense of reward. That's what the Bible says. What you sow, you must reap it. Run away, you will not run away. He said, flee. You don't know the meaning of flee. Woman. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 20, read it up to verse 23. What is emphasized in there? He said, why will thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman? Why will you do that? Why are you not satisfied with the breast of the wife of your youth? Why are you not satisfied with what God has given you? What is it that woman has that your wife doesn't have? Other than that, you are just, treading the path of destruction, and you don't know it. You think you are enjoying. But when the effect comes, that is when you will know. Everyone that has a genuine gift, once you go into fornication, the reason Satan pushes you there, he is an enemy of revival. There is a light that he wants to quench around you. He sends the agents to begin to work on you, and you don't know it. Flee. He said, flee fornication. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you read it from verse 15, he said, every sin you commit is outside the body. But the only sin you sin against your body is fornication. It's fornication. And he said, don't you know that when you have the Holy Ghost, you become the temple of God? He said, if any man defile God's temple, him will God destroy. You see, this is now with God. He said, if you defile his temple, him will God destroy. Just imagine that in Israel, in their hallowed temple, that no matter how drunk that man is, he will take a prostitute and enter that temple and sleep with her there. No, you know they won't do that. He won't even leave that place. They will see him dead. The glory of God is there. The glory of God that was in the Holy of Holies now dwells in you. And you will go and defile that temple that God has made his house, taking it to join with strange women, strange men who has not married you. Why will you do that? Once you do that, the grace that is in you, confusion starts. Frustration starts. It's a serious enemy of revival. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because we have so many examples in the Bible. I told you, women that brought down men. Eve brought down Adam. It's Eve. If she had stayed only with Adam, she would not have landed us where we are today. Ah, Mama, leave Eve. Ah. See all this Boko Haram. See all this nonsense going on. Now Eve because her. Oh yes, Mama Eve, now you cause her. Who would not have been in the estate that we are in now? Imagine how that garden was. Imagine, you know, how this world would have been. Anyway, when we come back in eternity, we will see what God meant. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Solomon, as long as he kept away from those strange women, you can marry one. How many of them? Oh, but let them be Israelites. But he said, don't join these unbelievers. As soon as he sold himself to women, having one man, 1,000 women. Kai! You can't even be with this one. And before you know what? Amen. They took his heart away and began to worship their gods. What was the effect? Throughout he was with God for 40 years, there was no war. But as soon as he went into the vanity of acquisition of strange women, what happened? If you read it, you will see battles began. Go and read it. 1 Kings chapter 11. The whole of the chapter, you see what is written there. Wars began, and his kingdom that was one was divided into two. That is what sin can cause. Ahab and Jezebel. Jezebel brought down Ahab in 1 Kings chapter 21. And read on like that, other chapters. Samson come. Delilah. We know his story. All the anointing he had disappeared. He became an object of ridicule. How are the mighty falling? The pluck of his eyes. They make caricature of him. He was thinking the anointing was still there. When he was lying down there and that strange woman. That is a perfect example I've told you. Any woman that you see is coming after you, brother. Telling you, enticing you, seducing you to sleep with me. To sleep with me. Sleep with me. Brother, you say you want to marry me. I hope you are not important to... No, I'm not important. Ah, yeah, doubt it too. Me, I know I marry important person who is leaving it to you to suggest. Amen. Then you tell her, say, no problem. If I marry you, finish. Because you say, I'm important. You can go now. Make a write and sign. No, don't be that one. I'm not going to wait till that time. Oh. I want to know whether you are. It's another Delilah. It's a Delilah coming, you don't know it. Rain the four. Yeah, rain the four. Okay. Open door, open door, open door. Oh, IK. Philistines are upon you. Other funny something. Funny this thing. And you think, say you find, I make girls, they look for you. You don't know. Nobody say you find. It's your destiny they are after. They say light, they saw. The kingdom of darkness say, if we don't quench that light, we are in trouble. And then anoint their agent. Sometimes the girl may not even know the anointing that is pushing her. Serpent did not know the effect of what he was doing. He didn't know that it was Satan that was inspiring him to do what he was doing. Some sisters don't even know. They don't have a feeling. I don't know if I see this guy, they charge. Not being they charge. It's a demon that is charging you so that that man will fall. Don't. He said, the Bible said, how did he put it? It says, it's an occasion, offense will surely come. It said, but woe to him by whom the offense shall come. Jesus says so. Yes, now. He said, offense will surely come. Temptation must come. Satan must go after someone. But Satan cannot come directly. He must use someone. But he said, woe to you that Satan will use to bring down anybody. So it is both sides. Make sure Satan does not push you to pull down anybody. Brother, don't pull down the sister. Sister, don't pull down the man. There are barriers in relationship where you know that this person is crossing boundaries. How do I know? It's that small. Satan doesn't call wah. Sister, no. I'm not. Just kiss. Just stay far. Okay. Tomorrow again you come. Stay far. That yesterday, oh, I sleep cool. Again. Praise the Lord. I don't know where you are going. William Branham said, you are not even supposed to kiss until you are pronounced husband and wife by the pastor. I've told you what to do if anybody has kissed. You never marry. What did I say you should do? Give that sister. She knows the solution. What did I say you should do?
Use anointing oil and toothbrush to wash your mouth very well.
Thank you very much. Get your toothbrush and put anointing oil inside and brush your mouth. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy. And don't kiss again. See how Samson was just destroyed like that. Beersheba destroyed David. Because of her, David was refused the opportunity to build a temple. Because of that woman. Now you say it's not Beersheba now that destroyed David. It's Beersheba. Why she will come back outside when you know say king dead balcony where it is sit down, they look that side. She was targeting him. She wanted to be wife of a king. Her husband was in the war front. So she saw the man sitting out there. Instead of using bathroom, she came to the outer court in the bath and the king. Bathsheba set him up. Sometimes you should know when to close your eyes. Slap your eye. Thou shalt not look. The loss of the eyes is among the things the Bible speaks about that is the cause of our problem. That's why it said, let your eye be single. Be focused. Let your eye be single. The eye is the window to the spirit. When the eye sees, it sends message to the brain. The brain sends message to react. Say, action there. Go, catch and kill. And you go. When you finish, then you begin to shed crocodile tears. I've done it, Father. I don't know what led me. You know. It's devil. There is no devil, nothing. Nothing. It's because you allow it to happen. What you hate, when it starts to come, you will fight it. You fight it. Praise the Lord. Look, you never see woman. We see man. We not stay within the category of the kind of man she they pray for. One year man begin to come, sister Nkiru. Immediately he said, Holy Ghost fire. Excuse me. Please. Take your time. Say, the only greeting I greet you. I don't want that greeting. I beg. He said, Holy Ghost fire. Nobody this one I pray for. Nobody this guy I pray for. Nobody this guy I pray for. So don't say na devil. You know how to reject the one you don't like. Then you call the romance the one way you like. You say na devil cause him. Which devil? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, men of God, pastor, prophet, evangelist, all of you, group leaders, when Satan wants to finish you and turn you to grass, he doesn't come with one blow. He would start small. Before you know what, she's your secretary in the group. There are some reports she has to bring to you in the house, so that you people will put it together, the monthly report. So she has access to your house anytime, any day. Listen, I had a story of a pastor that left Deeper Life Church at Songo. One of those who left with him was the one telling me this thing some years back. He said that he became the biggest church in Songo, you know, holiness. When he left Deeper Life to start his own, there was some little crisis. A few of them left with him to go and start that church that was not approved by their general superintendent, but they had to go. He rose there. When he was going, he went with a lady that became his secretary. And as she became his secretary, they started. He said, this man telling me was, you know, one of those that left. He said that after some time, the man became the president of the PFN in that area. Before you know what, he said, Ingo marry in secretary. But you are married. He said, lie, if not be this girl. Unknown to them, he was sleeping with the girl. According to them, the thing caused scandal. The PFN people came there that year to resolve it. He said, instead of making no marry this girl, he said, make them take their appointment to go. I am telling you, this brother said, when the thing reached like that, they knew something was wrong. Then they got themselves prayer warriors to go to the mountain and be praying for the man. He said it was the effect of that prayer that, because he said people left the church and very few people remained. Then that prayer, the angel of God came tormenting that girl. The girl opened up and started confessing. 10 years assignment. That she was sent, her own assignment was pull him down from the marine kingdom. Because the man was into serious deliverance. And then delivered so many of them, they decided, let's finish him. They gave her the assignment. If you finish this, this is what you will become. And she came and said, this is all she wanted to achieve. Of course, she had messed him up. And said, well, I have finished my assignment. And then she left the church. They looked for her. Nobody knew how to locate her again. It was then the man's eye clear. They gathered and prayed for him and prayed for him. His eyes clear. And started crying to God. I'm trying to tell you, when Satan meets you, he does this one when they come, ooh, da, hit you. My words here. One time, Pastor Thomas, no feel work. What happened? I tried this. Now, small, small one be that one. I don't know, small, small ones. The one that meets you. Ho, ho. That's why he said, watch and pray. Every man of God must have safeguards. If you don't have safeguards, you are finished. To protect some of our ministers, there are some sisters that I sent out of this church. I said, don't come here again. And I said, before you come, you marry. Then you and your husband can come back here. But for now, you are not coming to this church. And I stood on it. It's to protect some ministers. One was always cooking food and bringing it to a prophet in his office. Food! Ha! Food! I called them. Why are you? He said nothing. He's the one through him that I gave my life to Christ. If not for him, blah, 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 blah. I say, okay, he don't do. Now, he has brought you to Christ. You remain with Christ. Leave him. He was saying, I call her. I said, from today, don't come to this church again. Her husband was locked up somewhere. She went to the husband. The husband phoned me from the prison he had. Please, it is when this, my wife found this church that she changed. I said, you will not understand. I still stand. She will not come to this church. When you are released, the two of you can start coming. I have done that to a number of them in this church. Agents that is sent to come here. Come and build, do like spiritual sisters. But they're on assignment. How do I know? By their fruits. You shall know them. Why will a sister want to come near a family? Come to a close to a family and we come through the man, not through the wife. Can't you? Are you so foolish? Why will a sister want to come close to you, to your family? And he's not coming through the wife. He's not close to the wife. Now you are there close to. Then you're going to drop some things for your heart. He say, this agent Jerry, me, your wife, not to see this thing. This thing, your wife, not to see her. You know they drop the thing. Then foolish Jerry will say, don't mind this woman. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Iko, have you eaten today? I brought some Nkwobi. You will like it. When you finish canceling, make you chop. Then when you chop finish, he say, you said, but your wife knows how to cook this thing. It's supposed to be cooking for you now. Then when he's in your office, your wife enter. You go see her, sit down. Good morning, sister. Small time, you go jump outside. When your wife is out, you go enter. Okay. If I may, you want your wife, oh, she don't see the car eye when she take look me for outside. Wait, what did I do? You don't know it's an assignment against you. Small. Before you know what? Oh, if to say that this girl I marry. Oh. tell your neighbor, it will not be your portion. Brother, tell your neighbor, it will not be your portion. Tell her, it will not be your portion. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so the second enemy, I mean God of this evil age. You know, we have looked at woman. It's woman we have been looking at. Now the second one is popularity. Stardom. You are a star. A superstar. When you allow that come upon you, it produces pride. So you check it. Number three, God of this age is money. Love of money. It destroys ministry. It destroys the grace of God upon you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Please read it on your own from verse 3 up to verse 14. Where he says, the emphasis there is say, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's not the money, but the love of money. It can make you do anything. I told you some time ago, I said that there are these two spirits that if they catch a man, oh, you pity that person, how miserable he looks. Number one, this womanizing spirit. Oh, in the office is a general. Everybody, they fear him. Our MD is coming. MD is coming. You see him entering like a serious person. Uh-huh. Everybody in fear. Then when you enter office, one small girl go enter. I call you sis. Let me pick my call. What's your problem, sir? The man where everybody they fear. Now one small girl, he go tell her, see your head. Then the man is saying, if I didn't shake, Ingo, see, Ingo. Useless man. The next spirit is money. He will do anything to get the money. Do anything. They will do anything to get that money. Anything, including lying in the name of the Lord. And I don't care whether you find out later, because that spirit goes with lack of shame. They have no shame. When that spirit possesses you, no shame. When you present the matter, you dismiss it. What? Love of money. Praise the Lord. Let's read this parable in Mark chapter 4. The enemies of revival. Mark chapter 4. The parable of the sower. Amen. Now, let me read it from verse 18. The different soils that that the sower sowed on. This particular one is the one of my interest. Verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns. You receive the revival, but you are among thorns. Such as hear the word, is describing you have heard the word. Now listen. And the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the loss of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Deceitfulness of riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Why do we say it is a deceitfulness of riches? Because that same 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 7 says, certainly we brought nothing into this world, and we are going out of this world with nothing. If you came in with nothing, and you are going with nothing, then why are you busy acquiring and acquiring and acquiring, even to the detriment of your soul? It is a deceitfulness of riches. It deceives you to think that life consists of the abundance of the things that you possess. But it is not. Life does not consist of the abundance of the things we possess. No. It's more than that. That's why it says the deceitfulness of riches. There's no man that is wealthy that is satisfied with his wealth. You will always be looking for more, 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 more. You came to this earth with nothing, you are living with nothing. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you read it from verse 15 to 16, he said, as he came out of his mother's womb, as you came out of your mother's womb, that is how you are also living this earth. You came naked, you will live naked. Forget all that cloth that they are putting on you, on that grave. If you like, let the grave be made of marble. If you like, let your cloth be decked with gold. You will live. And very soon, thief will discover, say, those things there. The thief will know, say, you didn't go with them. They will go back there and pack them. Vanities of life. There's nothing you own on earth here that has any link with you after you have left the earth. All you live is living for others. And hope you even have children that will manage them. And whether they manage them well or not, it does not affect you. You are gone and gone for good. There is no link between the dead and the living. Once you die, it's gone. You are gone and gone forever. Gone and gone forever. So you should be careful until you are acquiring the wealth so much to the detriment of your soul. You lie to get money. You cheat to get money. Some even lie in the name of the Lord to tell people you are going to the mountain to pray. Meanwhile, it is the money you are looking for. It's wrong. Gifted people are those guilty of this more than anything. And the businessman, suddenly, once you have received this grace now, business doors will start to be open for you. And you are thinking that it is God that has opened those business doors. Some of them, he said they are opening to keep you busy, so that you put God behind and God will be angry with you. So you have to be very, very careful that you create enough time for God. He said, don't forget God. Satan wants you to forget God when all things become well for you. It's not every blessing that you receive that is from God. Some blessings you receive are temptations from Satan to take you away from God. Connection here, connection there, connection there. 1 month, you never, even sometimes, even time with your family you don't have. What happened? You know, I have a meeting in Japan. From Japan, they say I should come to Germany again. From Germany, they say I should go here. From this, I say, what happened? Oh my God, doors just open everywhere. Praise God for the doors to be open, but create time for God. If not, that grace you receive will soon die. And all the vision you'll be seeing are business, business, money, 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 money. Tell your neighbor it will not be your portion. Tell your neighbor it will not be your portion. Hallelujah. Psalm 49, verse 16. Read it up to verse 20. He says, when that man dies, he says, he shall carry nothing with him. Nothing with him. And Proverbs 27, verse 24 says, for riches are not forever. Riches are not forever. And when we speak, there are characters in the Bible that we can learn from. Gehazi, his ministry died because of money. You read that story, 1 Kings chapter 5, from verse 20 to 27. Elisha was faithful with his master Elijah. He received a double portion of the anointing of his master. Amen. What his master rejected, he too rejected it. Was closely following him. Now, he too has taken over. He needed somebody that will work with him too. He picked Gehazi. But while he was with Elisha, He was busy. His mind is on what he can use that anointing to get. And any time you have an anointing on you, and all you see it as a meal ticket, something that you can use and survive by, the spirit of leprosy is already upon you. Spiritual leprosy. The same spirit that came on a Gehazi, you, in fact, you are another Gehazi. Gehazi. All you do, because you don't say, you may not say with your mouth, but God judges all our motives. You tell us why you jump from shop to consecrate shops, to consecrate houses. Every village, you know, you go for family deliverance. You know why you are going. If it is so that a brother and sister will be delivered, that's why you do that. Oh, that would be wonderful. But if it is because of the change you will get from there, God will also judge you. And that gift is not meant for that. It's not meant for that. Praise the Lord. And this nonsense I see in this ministry must stop. Where a minister will give somebody a revelation that your problem is before you can receive deliverance, you have to take ministers to your village for family deliverance. There's something buried there. And the person you are saying cannot even eat. He cannot transport. And so what you have done is you have sentenced that person to perpetual suffering. And God does not act like that. And some of these ministers are so heartless. So heartless. God will judge all of you. All of you. But what nonsense you people are doing with that gift. Telling you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A sister told me, was telling me that a particular minister went to his village. I think sister, is it gift? Somebody here. Somebody went to your village. She's not here today. Somebody, a sister, he said the thing shocked her. Far somewhere at Calabar or Goja. Who is the person? Somebody told me that. He said that one of the prophets, that to her surprise, he said that came all the way from here, flew to the Calabar, took motor to the village. He said, one couple didn't have said the prophet said, No. It's not the money. This nonsense must leave this compound. He said, did the deliverance, prayed for them, entered motor and came back. He said, one couple he did not collect. Let's clap our hands for that minister. And I say, oh, deliverance has come to Bride Assembly. It's true. That minister is prophetic. Amen. Now, listen. A true gift, goes with compassion. Love. Read the message William Branham titled The 11th Commandment. That's the name, the title of the message. He told us that, he said, why he has been successful in his ministry, testimony, why he prays, things happen. He said, because first and foremost, he gets into the feeling of the person he prays for. You have to have compassion. He said, that itself places you. He said, there is an anointing that flows through that channel. That once you pray in that estate, says something must happen. But when you come to do commercial prayer, it cannot happen. Nothing will happen. It's a commercial prayer. God told us, freely we have received, freely we must give. But I'm also aware that there are some brethren that are wicked. I have sent two ministers here to travel to go. The sister called me that she's already in the village. She's already in the village. And how will she send the money? I said, okay, don't worry. I will give these ministers transport to come. But you will give them transport to come back. Do you know that she tricked us here? She ran ahead of them. She got there. They finished the prayer. Bottle of Coke, you know, give them in the east. They had to travel. They reached what they had. They reached Benin. It managed to reach Benin. Then one of them had to go to a friend in Benin to give them transport money to reach here. Now I'm just telling you how also, you know, it happens. And church, it is unfair to tell somebody to leave his family, go travel all the risk in the journey by air or by land, and then go to your family and face a demonic deity that at the risk of his life, spiritually and physically, and then you don't even gratify him with anything. Didn't the Bible say when you come before even God, you should not come empty-handed? So, sometimes you are the cause of them charging you. So we have to balance it. Praise the Lord. You will tell somebody here to leave one end of Lagos to another end of Lagos to consecrate your house. Transport money, you don't go give up. He finished, say, brother, God bless you. He will come back again to Boston, struggle and come back. The next time you tell him to come, will he come? It is wrong. See, we are not supposed to charge, but I can show you in the scripture, the Bible says, he that plows shall plow in hope. He's laboring for you so that God will bless you. But he's hoping that when God blesses you, you will remember him. That's what that scripture says. And he said, they that walk by the altar shall eat by the altar. It is our right as ministers for you to take care of us. But so that we will not, you know, allow the gospel, you know, you will not misunderstand us. That's why we don't talk about it here. Those churches that talk about it, the ministers that demand it, they are not committing sin in those churches. When he tells you, bring prophet's offering. Man must work. Anybody speaking against it, if you were giving him, will he come and say you should bring offering? He's demanding it because you don't give him. Ministers will do counseling from morning till evening. At the end, when they finish, they are coming to my office, daddy, nothing, family money, Jerry, you know. When I say, Abel, don't finish counseling now, he said, daddy, she, nothing. All of them caught, that's how they go. How can they be blessed? How can you be blessed? What is it now that is firing them to come back and sit down for hours? That's why some, when they just see, the first person called nothing, second person called nothing, third person, they all went and say, it is done. It is done. Go and do 3 days night prayers. Go. I don't finish your daddy, I don't finish, I don't see 10 people. And they go. Why? No inducement. God ordained. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. He said, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teacheth in all good things. It is thus said the Lord. It is your duty to take care of the people that God is using on you. Any minister that has taken up your case, amen, you must take care of that minister to encourage him to continue to take care of your matter. Man or woman, must take care of the person that is taking care of you spiritually. It's wrong for us to demand, but we expect. Do you understand my English? We will not demand, but we expect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you leave God's servants to starve, when through them you are receiving blessing, God will be angry with you and he will strike your progress. People don't know it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is what? The way of destruction. You may justify yourself. You may think you are smart by using men of God and dumping them. It's very easy in this church because there are many. When you finish with this one, you can't start with another one. When you finish with this one, before this one discovers that you are a stingy person, you go change again. Change again. And some of you think you are smart. Those stingy ones that will come and then change 5,000 naira to Jerry. Which one did they use? 50-50 naira. 50-50 naira, 10,000. Then they will put it in an envelope. Then they will hold it. Jerry, a pastor in. I want to sow a seed. Pastor, Jerry go see envelope. Then go remember, say, pastor, say, no, you don't get money. Then even if they do deliverance, Jerry will say, daddy, wait. Somebody wants to sow seed. When you go finish, we open up. Now 50-50 naira. Bondu. You think you are wise. You will hear them that we are praying. I am expecting a contract. Daddy, if this contract goes to, it's 20 million naira. Da-da-da-da. You pray. You go and get it. After you don't see them again. The next time you will see them. Daddy, you remember that contract when you prayed for me that time? I said, what happened? He's having problems. I said, but you don't tell me, say you don't get them now. He said, I don't tell you, daddy. Now you might execute now. Now the thing don't hook. Daddy, pray. How can I pray? I'm a human being. Cause, don't follow me. What person go use me, dump me. Change this psych so that you'll be blessed. Change the psych. Change it. Love of money is the root of all evil. I think I don't finish. We'll continue next time. Praise the Lord. Have I offended anybody? If I've not offended you, then clap your hands for the Lord. Can we take our tithes now? Now you go see. Now you go see stingy people, evil with God. To pay love of money. They are ready to pay 10,000 naira tithe. But when it is time for offering, they will bring 100 naira. See them. See what your neighbor they put for envelope. Look at them.